Hi, this is Richard Garfield with The Game Glimpse, where I drone on and on about a game that's on my mind. I'll tell you what interests me in the game, and perhaps tie that into games in general. Maybe I'll tell a story from my experiences. But for now, let the droning begin. The game I'm going to talk about today is Tic-Tac-Toe. Tic-Tac-Toe was invented by Robert Tic-Tac-Toe, who was an accountant working for Lloyd's of London in the early 20th century. Tic-Tac-Toe is played on a 3x3 grid. Each player alternates placing their symbol in one of the cells. The first player to play puts an X in one of the 9 cells, and the next player puts an O in any unoccupied cell. And they alternate in this way until one player has 3 in a row. They can be vertically, horizontally, or that tricky diagonal. Tic-Tac-Toe was not created out of nothing. There were several precedents which were floating around. If you want to be uncharitable, Robert Toe's contribution was less creation than formalizing the rules. Prior to Mr. Toe, games similar to Tic-Tac-Toe were played on different size boards, 2x4, 2x3, sometimes even the minuscule 2x2 board. Also, players would often use symbols other than X and O. They would use Q's and A's and sometimes check marks or little spirals. The winning conditions also varied. Sometimes there were different local victory conditions that had nothing to do with 3 in a row. Sometimes there was the slithering snake pattern, popular in the north, and then the star pattern, which in the continent was a little more popular. And wherever you went, you would find your own pattern for victory. And so Robert Toe did a great service to the game industry by bringing these variant games under one umbrella, and he really chose quite an elegant solution to these issues. The 3x3 works very well, and the X's and O's are chosen to be highly contrasting symbols, and the 3 in a row is something which is understandable, and it's easy to see why it became the classic that it is today. Mr. Toe's life ended somewhat tragically. He died penniless in the 40s. 48. He tried to follow up his success with Tic-Tac-Toe with other games, but they never really caught on in the same way. And then he spent most of his fortune accrued from his design suing Noughts and Crosses, which was a Tic-Tac-Toe ripoff, which came out shortly after Tic-Tac-Toe. The game plays identically with Tic-Tac-Toe. The only difference is instead of putting O's, you put zeros, noughts. And it seems ridiculous that that would stand up in the courts, but it did. Games are notoriously difficult to protect, and Robert Toe learned that the hard way. Robert Toe has one other peculiar legacy, which I'd be amiss not to mention. His son Charles remembered him always sucking on a mint while he was growing up. It was his habit. He had stopped smoking and just compulsively sucked on mints all the time. Later, Charles went into the confectioner business, and he started a line of mints, which he named after his father. And that's where Tic Tacs come from. I love games that can be played seriously as well as casually. Tic-Tac-Toe's no exception. Tic-Tac-Toe's played in playgrounds, and yet it's played very seriously as well. When growing up, it was actually one of the games that I took very seriously, and I was an alternate in the 1980 Summer Olympics for Tic-Tac-Toe, which unfortunately the U.S. boycotted. But had they not, I would have represented the U.S. As a Tic-Tac-Toe player, as an alternate. But still, I would have been on the team. And who knows, maybe I would have actually ended up playing. My first real game strategy books that I read were on Tic-Tac-Toe, first with just general strategy, but later on specific openings and philosophies of Tic-Tac-Toe. As I became a broader game player, I stopped specializing so much in any particular game, and then I started paying attention to all sorts of different games like bridge and poker and hobby games and so forth. But my heart never really left Tic-Tac-Toe. Anybody who's followed serious tic-tac-toe understands that the game has changed radically in the last 20 years because of computers. This became very public when the world champion was beaten by a computer constructed by IBM, Deep Pink. Deep Pink won the championship, and that's kind of taken the steam out of a lot of tic-tac-toe programs. But even before that, it was changing a lot. Computers were a good enough assistance to your play that, I mean, formally with championships as in a grueling game, you would be able to take a break and reconvene the next day. Even in the late 80s, they began to change this rule because if I was playing a high-level tic-tac-toe game with somebody and we took a break and it was my turn, well, back at the hotel, I can use a computer as well as my team of seconds to sort of figure out what the best answers are. And the next day come in armed with a much better strategy than I would have if I had to play straight through. Getting a break on your turn was an advantage, and that couldn't stand. So in 1989, they made a rule that you couldn't actually break a championship game up in the middle. You had to play straight through. Well, the nature of the game really changed. It became one more of endurance than strategic thinking. If you can last through the 5 or 6 hours of grueling intellectual battle, which is the top-level tic-tac-toe game, then you're going to end up probably being a champion. And so the nature of the champions really changed. They became younger and less experienced, but able to endure those rigors. Games have come a long way since the early 20th century, and tic-tac-toe has not remained untouched. This is an exciting time to be in games, and to be a tic-tac-toe player in particular. In the last 5 years, we've seen several expansions for tic-tac-toe, which include additional letters for additional players, so you can play tic-tac-toe as a party game, or at least if you have 3 people, still play. And these extra symbols for play are useful variations for just playing with 2. Sometimes when playing tic-tac-toe, just for fun, I'll play something other than X or O's. I really actually think Y's play very well. I never would have thought when I was on the tic-tac-toe Olympic team that I would play a tic-tac-toe role-playing game or World of Tic-Tac-Toe Online. I was really skeptical that they'd be able to maintain the nature of tic-tac-toe in a massively multiplayer game, but after I worked my way up to 60th level as an X, I had to admit they had something there. Even though it was something mostly new, it really did manage to capture the spirit of tic-tac-toe. But even though these variants and expansions of tic-tac-toe are by and large excellent and really leverage the game design technology that's come about in the last 50 years, I encourage my listeners to go back and play the original a few times. I think it's a good idea to keep in touch with your game roots, and I think no matter how far we go, Robert Toe's original creation, in its original form, is going to live on. And now it's time for the kid's turn. So, Terry, do you like tic-tac-toe?
I suck at it.
How much have you played it?
Well, today I played it in class a little bit.
Really? You played it in class, and you're how old?
No, yeah.
That's 13?
We were bored, and it was break.
And you won?
No.
Really? Who beats you at tic-tac-toe?
Well, today and yesterday and the day before combined, Cole, Connor, Isabel, Audrey, Silka, Joel, Carter Morfitt, and Nick.
Good Lord. And I can't believe you beat me twice in a row at Bottle Imp. You can't win tic-tac-toe.
Tic-tac-toe is really hard.
Hi, Alden. When was the last time you played tic-tac-toe?
Long time ago.
Really? Why did you stop playing?
Because it didn't have as much strategy as I would like it to.
Really? So, what level tic-tac-toe player were you?
I don't know.
Did you have, like, a black belt, or were you, like, level 6 or anything?
No, I just played it with my mom sometimes.
Is she a master tic-tac-toe player?
Not really, I don't know.
If there was one quality of tic-tac-toe you'd like to see in more games, what would it be?
The simpleness, maybe.
The simpleness, yeah. It's a very elegant game design, isn't it?
More O's as well.
You like more O's. Yes. So you're an O player.
Yes.
Skylar.
The last time I played tic-tac-toe was in Whistler.
I seem to recall, that was that Thanksgiving, I seem to recall you beat Terry a bunch of times.
Yeah, she's not that good. She just can't see things.
Is there one square which is better than the others?
Well, the middle square, people call it the square of power, but I don't think it's very wise to choose it first. Because if you ever choose it first, then whatever you move, the opponent will just move the opposite square, and it's always going to end up a cat's game.
And that's it. I hope you've enjoyed this week's Game Glimpse. Feel free to leave any comments you have. If you want to suggest any games, you can do that too. Maybe your game will be the next one I glimpse.
Oh no! A tic-tac-toe! I thought you were talking about rock, paper, scissors. Never mind.
Are you really doing a podcast on tic-tac-toe?